Okay, everyone, it's an incredible privilege for us here in camp, and particularly here in the Masvidim, to have Rav David Cohen Shlita with us. As you all know, the most serious shilas in the world come to Rav David Cohen on a daily basis, and he agreed to have a question answer session in halacha. I imagine if there are questions in hashgacha, he would also be agreeable over the next little bit. So we're going to open the floor to questions. I think maybe the way we'll do it is I'll call on you when you raise your hand. I'll call on you to ask a question, and the Rav will respond. So without further ado, if anyone would like to start, Akiva, that seems like a good place to start.
I don't hear well, so it has to be loud. Okay. Yes, so I'm shout at me.
I can repeat.
Well do.
I could also repeat.
All right, that would be fine.
Can Rabbi please explain the status of intellectual property in halacha, like music?
There's a whole sefer written on this. I think it was given out by the Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael. There is such a thing. To my knowledge, the first didn't tell us about it was about the Mishnah Berurah. I'm sorry, not the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, because he put out the Kitzur of Shlomo Gansfried, and then many years later, someone wanted to print the Kitzur with Pirushim, Mizgeres HaShulchan, so they didn't want to ask him permission. They printed the Kitzur with that, and there was a Din Torah about, you know, I'm saying it's your sefer, I'm not saying it my name, which is not allowed. In Simakufnan Vav, the Magen Avraham brings, besides what the Gemara says, Koloim Adava V'Shem Eimlei, maybe Gula Le'olam. He brings a Chazal that it's like Zela, it's a terrible thing about gambling the Tchum. When you, it's like you're not allowed to steal a karka from someone, so there's a laugh, so he brings that. And incidentally, what's Takab Shat? Why? Lani is dati. The reason is, what's the word gula? In Chumash, gula til alvim. In other words, when your person Yashim's field, it's soda of Yerusha. So gula means when it goes back to the original source. What is he doing? He's bringing it back to the original source. Maybe Gula Le'olam, because that's what he's doing. So that's the concept of, you know, of the whole Indian, that you're not allowed to say it. There was a very famous thing that they once told the Gadol. There were different machlokes and who the Gadol was, and they were saying things that he said in their names. He says, that doesn't bother me so much. What bothers me is they say their Torah in my name. That bothers me much more. In any event, that's basically that you're not allowed to. But it's called stealing. But the question is, if I'm a machaber, they're printing my sefer. They're not saying it's not mine, but they're printing it, and I'm not giving permission. Do I have a chesha mishpat right to say you can't do it? And that's big machleksin. One of the most frequent shilas I used to get is music, especially today with computers. You paid money, why can't you lend it to me? I won't pay any money and I'll put it in my machine. So there's a very big machlekes. And Lani is not the, I don't consider it stealing, because what am I stealing? I'm not stealing a thing. What am I stealing? Let's say you said a shir, and I love the Torah, and I'm saying it over in your name. What am I stealing? I'm saying over Torah in your name. What did I do wrong? Yeah, I saved money. So when people who, I mean, this is their, I'm not allowed to give it as a gift to someone else, and I'm not allowed to sell it, because that's takonas hashuk. That's a different halacha. When I do that, but and a matone is like selling, so that's why that you certainly can't do. But when people that this is their living, they make these tapes, they got wise to it, they put in little letters that I'm not selling it. I'm renting it for 99 years. So if it's not yours, you're just renting it. You have no right, because that's one of the conditions. So they got wise to it, and that's what they do. But these are machlekes. What is it, the machlekes? But Lamaisa today, unless you ascertain that the tape is not sold, then certainly you can't do it. But this used to be one of the most frequent shilas I used to get. Yes?
I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva now, Yeshiva Katana.
And Yeshiva Katana.
I find myself grappling at night.
You also?
At night, when I'm about to sit down, open a safe and learn a little bit, I sometimes consider, should I be preparing more for Yeshiva and teaching the Talmidim, or is it better for me to open a safer and learn on my own? That's one shaila I have. And the second part is...
You mean, is it better for you to prepare?
Prepare more for Yeshiva for the Talmidim, or to open a safer and learn something for my own
personal... So on that aspect of what you're asking, I must tell you, there's no answer. The answer is, lo'olam yilmadodim mashali b'chofetz. You have to answer it. I can't answer it. The only way I could answer it is with Ruach HaKodesh. That way I would know what you're all about. A, I'm not a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, and if I were, I'm not ready to be Megala myself. Why are you laughing? Yes.
We had a B.
What?
That answers the second part of the question.
He knew that.
I only have a certain amount of time a night to learn on my own. Now, what should I be choosing? So I guess the Rav answered that
Shame
question
answer.
As well.
Rabbi Yisrael Salanta used to say, learn Musa and you'll see you have more time. Right. But I don't give that answer. Shear's over. Come to the door. Yes, go ahead, please.
Josh, go ahead.
Yes.
Hi, Rebbe. What is the halacha in terms of if someone is on an airplane and there's people who might not be Jewish and there's time and the time for minyan arrive? So is it better to have a minyan on the plane with the potential of a chilul Hashem or a daven be a
chilul? I don't like the term chilul Hashem when people make the minyan, because it really isn't a chilul Hashem. By an anti-Semite, look at those Jews. You know, whatever. People are seeing Jews praying. That's chilul Hashem. They have no choice. So therefore, they have to. They're not doing it in order to disturb people. They're clearly doing it because they're praying to Hashem. So it doesn't become chilul Hashem unless you're an anti-Semite. Then whatever you do, it's chilul Hashem, if you know what I mean. But if a non-anti-Semite, he sees people praying, oh, that's a chilul Hashem, right? He sees a Jew dressed in the Hasidic garb, chilul Hashem. Rabbi Avram Tversky, Zeichet Tzadok Gevrocha, used to tell over that a lot of times a Jewish woman would say to him, look, you know, he was dressed Hasidic. Well, you know, I don't think they said chilul Hashem. They didn't know what the words meant. So he said to the woman, I'm Amish. Oh, it's so nice that you carry on the tradition. So he told her, you know, he gave her a bracha, if you know what I mean. But that's the way it works. That's what it is. And once there's a Maisha Shoya, a very close friend of mine, Loza Bratel of Hashalom. He was in Antwerp, and he was a Chassidish Shiite. So Shabbos, he wore a shtreimel. He's in Antwerp. A Yid pulls over. I don't think then it was a Cadillac. Today it would be a Mercedes-Benz or something like that. Puts down, this is Leil Shabbos. And Yiddish says to him, look how you're dressed. It's a chilul Hashem. And drives away. This was on Shabbos. So he told him it's a chilul Hashem the way you're dressed. So you understand that's a very, you know... Anyone, you go into court and a guy says, get that skull cap off. He would never say it to a galach who walks in. You understand? He's an anti-Semite. So let's not, you know, overuse Chil Hashem.
Can I just follow up on that question? What if the flight attendants find it disruptive because they're not able to...
But they know these people are praying and they have no prayer. Personally, I have much more kavana if I don't join them. So I sit during Shemin Esrei if I have to, and that's the din. If you have more kavana, you sit. And I don't join them if they have a minyan. If they don't have a minyan, I'll go join them. But that's, I personally feel it's better like this, not because of Chil Hashem, okay? Everyone here doesn't have a question.
Yeah, Zach, go ahead.
Regarding the tragedy which happened in Miami, I have three questions. When do we stop praying and saying Tehillim for the to be survivors?
I mean, it would be a Nes Golui if anyone by now is a survivor. So there is no Tehillim. I don't think there's Tehillim in order to bring the person Lidei Kvura. I don't think so.
Another point is, when does Avelis kick in for...
People make a mistake in your Shiloh. The din of Avelis for each individual who would be an Avel is when that individual is Miyayish from anyone finding the body or body parts. So it's an individual din. When a Siyayish Milakoivrei Avelis starts, so it's individual. Okay. Yes.
Does Rebbe wear tcheles? Does Rebbe wear tcheles? And if not, why not?
Tcheles. You want to know about tcheles?
I don't wear tcheles. Has nothing to do with different shitos. If you know a little about the history of tcheles, Reb Gershon Henoch, the Radzina Rebbe, he was a goyin oilam, then he was a rebbe in the Mir yeshiva, full of litvaks, not today's Mir. They held he was second only to the Vilna goyin. Okay, so he was really a brain. He knew kol haTorah kula, and he knew every lashon you could think of. When he wanted to go to Italy, where he claimed he found the chalazim, his gabbai wanted to go along. Every rebbe has a gabbai. He told him, in 2 weeks, I'll know Italian. I'll have to be your gabbai. He didn't take him along. He carried a gun for protection. In those days, he held he needed one. A very interesting Jew, don't you think? Well, he claimed he was a person who knew every language that you could think of. He just had an open brain. So that's why he was like the Goyen. He wrote on Seder Taurus. We don't have all of it because it was lost. On Kalim and Aulis, it was published. These are only on Taurus. Besides Masechta Nida, you have only Mishnayos. So he made Gemara wherever Kol HaTorah Kula. Bavli Yerushalmi Safros Safri Mechilta Tzeifte Zohar HaKadosh Midrashim. He made it like a Gemara. And then he made a Rashi, and then he made a Tosfos. So Kalim came out. Rav Chaim Brisker was so much afraid that people would think that this is a Gemara. He made him print it. So Israel, he was Nifter at 52, very young. Rav Chaim Brisker made him print on every page Malukit midivrei tanoim v'amaroyim, that they shouldn't think it's an original. And he wrote like Rashi would write on his new Gemara, and he wrote Tosfos, where he wrote Goyne Goynes, where he fights a lot with the Vilna Goyne. So he was an extraordinary Goyne. That's the Radzina Rebbe, and he claimed that he found the Chalazim. You have to understand that in Kabbalah Sarizal, and many of them were against him, it says we won't have tcheles until the demand of the Goyal Tzedek. So they were against him for that reason. And he answered, you know, he knew his stuff, so he wrote answers. Rabbi Yashaber Soloveitchik Zatzal, the Beis Halevi, held a very interesting shita, that even if you're right, you're wrong. He held that and I don't want to go into all the pilpul because that not me and your name, but EL, there are certain things that have to go according to the Mesorah in the Metzius. And if we lose the Mesorah, we don't know what Chelitz is. We lost it. So even if you're right that this was the original Chelitz, it's gone. Sorry. So he held that even if you're right, you're wrong. He didn't want to accept it. There were certain Chassidim, like Brassel Chassidim. There were certain Gedolim, like the Breshan Rov, the Marsham, individuals that accepted Chelitz. And they kept, you know, they kept on with it. But they were big misnagdim on Chelitz. Now they claim they found Chelitz, which is not like Rav Gershon Henoch, you know, a little bit of the history. Rav Herzog Zatzal, who was a Goyen Olam, got his doctorate. He was a Rav doctor. Rav Herzog was a Mishnah de Kegodl, and he knew many, many things. He had a doctor in literature, but he, besides that, he was a Goyen in everything he knew. He wrote his doctoral thesis on the Chelitz. And because of that, the Ratzina family are angry with him because they claim that Rav Gershon Henoch, in his Svarim, that he wrote Psil Chelitz, he wrote a few Svarim to protect. Incidentally, he was not officially an MD. I met people when I was there in Shalom 54, a great aunt of one of my Chaverim. Her father was a bosom friend of Rav Gershon Henoch, so he used to visit him. And we know we have prescriptions, medical prescriptions, that doctors today say this man knew medicine. And it was known, this woman told me that she was operated, she was a little kid, and he looked at her and he said, a butcher did this. He didn't like the way they did it, and it was a Jewish doctor in our town who was the one who took care of her. And he used to lace into that doctor. The doctor was impressed, he knew everything. He knew medicine. So the doctor said, how do you know all this? So he said, if you wouldn't play cards at night, you would also know something about medicine. Which, you know, he had a mishuna dika brain. He knew all languages. There are a lot of stories about him. But that the Radzina family were angry because they claim that everything that's written in the doctoral thesis, Rav Gershon Henoch refuted already. So they didn't, you know. So, and they also hold that today's Chelitz is Lav Dafka. Rav Moshe Bik Zatzal, the famous Rav Bik from Borough Park, he was very critical. Just that he was critical of the price of matzahs. And he says mitzvahs have to be cheap. And people who sell matzahs have a directorate understanding that it costs so much per pound and so much a matzah. Nobody undersells. A real coincidence, no? So the best you can do is make your matzahs tastier. That's the only competition. But he held, you didn't have to be able to afford mitzvahs. Now, today's trailers cost good money. Rav Moshe Bik wouldn't like that. You understand? So there's a perfect right to be misnagged to people who may be producing mitzvahs. And as they claim, they didn't say it, but that's my way of presenting it. You know, there's a famous Jewish joke. There was someone who was saying a hesped, and from the back came a voice, give him chicken soup. On the nifter, you understand. And again, it was disruptive. So the rabbi said, after a while, you can't ignore it. He says, I'm afraid it won't help anymore. So a voice came from the back, it can't hide. That's the typical Jewish joke about Jewish chicken soup, you know. So they say, even this is at the time of Gershon Henoch, even, it can't hide. But it can, cost you $100, you know, depends. There are a lot of people, they feel a pressure, mitzvah, suffering. So that's why there's room to be misnagged, to resist wearing those Tchelus today. Now I'm just giving you time. Yes.
But if you can't afford it, is it the same thing?
Not you can or can't afford it. It's a protest. It's a protest. It's costing you, I'm just making it up, $3 to manufacture. You're taking it dip dry. What does it cost them to put it together? What, you know, incidentally, when Rabbi Aschenhenech, he was such a genius, when he found what he held was Tchelus, he wrote a letter, this is known, this is history, to the Royal Academy of France to make a dye out of it. They couldn't. So he did. You got it. He knew everything. He made a plant and he produced a dye because they couldn't do it. So these are facts about a man who knew everything. Something very interesting to have had such a genius. Yes, sir.
Does Rebbe think the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach still applies today?
Repeat.
The mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach. How do we do it? Does it still apply today to be Mochiach?
Anyone who says that any mitzvah of Tayag doesn't apply, you have to be by the kitzitzis. That's the way we speak in Yiddish. You know what I mean? Every single mitzvah, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So Avodas HaMikdash doesn't apply, we're anusim. But Tayag, you know what I mean? Tayag is Tayag. Not only, I mean, the Rambam says, if it's not going to apply, Achabias Mashiach, it's not Tayag. You understand? And that's, there are people who want to say on certain mitzvahs, well, times have changed. This is crash, clear apokosis. No itinerary. Doesn't apply today because that's apokosis. There's no such thing.
So how are we mekayim hocheach tochiach nowadays?
By being nice, because you're not right, and saying, to, like I'm saying to you, I want to give you teichocha for asking such a question. With a smile. So I'm giving you teichocha. Because it's not a correct, it's an improper question. What do you mean? I saw someone making kiddush and not being kind of Malcolm Suter. I go over to him quietly and I say, hey, what did you do? And I'll tell him, Rabbeinu Yoina, if you didn't have work, you have an extra avis. And I would do it in a way not to embarrass him, like Cecil of Chet. I will not, if I'm a psychologist, and a person is telling me I did this in the Savera, whether he knows better or not, I will not say you're not allowed to, because I will lose, I'm doing against Teichiach Teichiach, because I just, by saying you're not allowed to, built the Mechitza where I can't convince him anymore. So sometimes keeping your mouth quiet is Teichacha, and you build up a relationship. And if before he knows that, and he admires you because you're helping him. Oh, so, and then he wants to be very much like you. Do you know how many people became Balei Tshuva this way? I will not run into a Jewish barber who I see Shabbos is shaving a guy. One is Deiraisa Skila, one is the Rabbana, one is Deiraisa without Skila. And run in and say, you're not allowed to do it because there's a din. Kishem shemitzvah loma dover anishma kach mitzvah shaloloma dover shalonishma. And you're all gedorim and rishonim, it's a whole sugya. Because the Gemara in Be'ah Daf Lamed says that the women are very busy Erev Yom Kippur. They fast too. But they're busy serving you and they're very busy. Hani nashe du ka'achlei toshvus yom kippurim. Toshvus Yom Kippurim is Daraisa. It's not Mefirish Mekra. You shouldn't give them Muslim for this reason. And there's a whole sugya that the Gemara says that you give Musa ad hakor machlekes ad viyad bechlal or ad viyad bechlal. In other words, I tell them don't do this. So, and I have to tell them again and again. Till, according to some, he's about to beat me, and according to others, after he gives me a patch. Ad or loyad, but like it's for shame. So you have Adakor Ad Nazifa, which is before that, right? Or at Klola, there are different Madregas. No, so there, what do you mean? It's Ein Nishma. So it's a Stira. So Rishonim deal with it. Mefirish Mikra. There are a lot of Terutzim to reconcile this Sugya into when yes, when no. But it's a Sugya Shleima. You know what I mean? It's a Sugya Shleima. But of course, there's Teichacha. Of course. I mean, there's so many Gemaras that the Gemara says that I love him because, you know, he sipped my Rebbe on me, who really gave it to me, because he knew my Rebbe would know how to give me Teichacha. And that's why I have a great Akara Satay for him, because look what he did for me. You know, different people who appreciate a Teichacha. You understand? But it's a Sugya Shleima. And it's certainly Shayach Bismano said. But I'm saying to you, is that sometimes not saying anything is a mitzvah teichacha. It's certainly a kiyum of sorts. Yes, sir.
When someone asks a shayla and they're told it's a machlokas aposkim, how do they know which one to paskin? Do they always have to follow the same posik, or?
I would love to answer you at length. I wrote a whole kuntris on your shayla because there are so many drachim. I can talk a little about it. I have a whole kuntres on this. The name of the sefer is Avrom Yogel Yitzchok Yiranein, and the name because people who sponsored it, so their father's name was Avrom and the Shver's name was Yitzchok. So I decided that's an appropriate name. But I have a kuntres on Darkei Hayroah. So you have to understand, there were Hayroahs. People don't know this. You all heard of Moshe Feinstein's Atzal, of course. Do you know that Moshe Feinstein disagreed with Rishonim and Paskin that way? Because it's a Mesorah, and many Litvish Paskin, till today, Paskin that way. Because the Mesorah in Litvish from the Goyim was that you're not a Paisa because you looked up a Sefer and said it's a Machlaikis. That's called your paskening. They used to say, in fact, it was one that like to be mabatel someone. That Rav, what does he know? He paskens from the Pisrei Tshuva, or the Sharei Tshuva. There was no greater bittel in the Lithuanian. That's called a paisik. He looks it up, and it's on the Shulchan Aruch, and it says, now you know it's like this, some say it's like this. So he twists his beard and he paskins like one, or it's a machlaikas, it's a subject. That's a paisik. That's not a paisik. They say he's a porter, a treger. Like they're a porter. You know why they're called porters? Because they worked by the ports to carry the stuff that was loaded by the port. They brought it into town. So he's a porter. So they said, er is a treger. He's just carrying. He's not a paisik. That's not it. And it was the greatest bittel. That's a rav. He paskins from the Pesach Tshuva. That's not a rav. So Rav Moshe among many gedolim. If you look well, someone asked him a question and he brings a Ramban, and he's paskining against the Ramban. If you follow him, but he wants you to know, I know the Ramban. So he brings the Ramban, says the old pilpul, and keeps on going further, but he disagrees with the Ramban. There's a Mesorah from the Vilna Goyim. The whole Valojana, people who learned in the old Lithuanian yeshivas, paskin that way. Rav Chaim Eisa, I heard from Rav Gusman, that's how they paskin. That's called paskining. In other words, there was a whole to-do. These are facts I'm telling you. Rav Chaim Valojina once argued on a Beis Yosef of Yosef Kala, the Baal Shulchan Aruch, in the din of Maliach Areu Kreiseach. So he argued with him. So, you know, the Beis Yosef says not like that. So he said, you can ask me from the Beis Yosef, they had all the salt, which is ridiculous. But it's Derech Hanivas. I'm not arguing with him. It's a Derech Hanivas. So the idea was that I'm a Falpo in the Ramban. But bottom line is, I have to paskin the way I learned the sugya. So that's how Rav Moshe used to paskin. That is a fact. And it's not only Rav Moshe. It was Kemaro from that school. G'dayle Litta. That's Pshat Yipaskin. In Hungary, no way. And they had like klolim. You like you gotta go if there's a machlekes here. And they used to bring all the different shittas that they could, and sometimes go after they had klolim. You go after the rove, 50-50 doesn't mean exactly 50-50, but they had klolim. And if the Michael of Amos machne, you machne, they had their rules in how they paskin, and you had different darke alimut all together. Which is really a huge lecture. I wouldn't be done if I would start that lecture. The Maharal was so, in other words, you should say pilpulim, even though Emes says that this pilpul isn't true, but you're very sharp. So you made a whole thing, Lashitosa, you made a whole shmedre, but you're very smart, so I can't even follow you. But they had such darki alima. Why? Because it's not worse than chess. It sharpens your mind. And many people play chess for that reason. Because it sharpens your mind. And my kavana is, so when I learn a Blat Gemara, my mind will be sharp. That was their kavana. Seriously. So the idea was, learn Torah in a way that your mind is sharpened. And the Maharal took issue with that. You're not learning Teres Emes. So there were machleks and throughout in Darkei Halimud and in Darkei Hayroah. He had so many different Darkei with Klolim. I wrote a whole contrast on it. My conjecture, why this was so. Why they had different rules. But they had a total, you know, from yesteryear, how do you paskin? That's the non-answer to your question. Okay? Yes, sir.
Would we rather someone marry someone irreligious or not?
Again.
Would we rather someone marry someone irreligious or not get married at all?
I mean, if there's a choice?
If you, what
if
you
there's mean? A choice. Now, what does it mean marrying someone irreligious? Will they keep the halachas of Taras HaMashpacha? If they won't, it's asa. If they will, it's mutter. If there's no other brayra. As long, and there have been many people in America, we don't even know from American Jewish history, there were many situations that women married irreligious men, as long as they let them keep the halachas. In other words, the men were mechalei Shabbos. And it's so marvelous how these women raised from a children, not always guaranteed. The children knew their father is going to work on Shabbos, mind you. But the women, because they had this arrangement, sometimes people change their minds, which is terrible. But they had this arrangement, and it worked out. And sometimes the husband became religious, you know, because he did see and appreciate what religious life is all about. But there were many, we personally know it. We know these people. But that's what you had. Ein Breira. There were no from the young men available. So it really depends if it's going to stare. No Taras HaMashpacha, it's us. There's no way. Yes.
David,
you wanted to ask me? Yes.
Sorry. David, on that question, on that Shiloh, how do you say, what's the proper way to say no to people? There are times that a person has to say no. And there are different ways
there's
to
different
say no
ways.
In shidduch, for example. Now, what's the proper way to say no in
well,
shidduch?
Well, in any shidduch, first of all, there are people, I don't know their source, but they feel, you want to read me the shidduch? No. If you say no, it's like a lashon hara, something's wrong with the other people. That's not nice. So they won't say no. I'll think about it. And I'm keeping every time they read it, I'll think about it. So they realize, you know, there's a famous saying, if a diplomat says yes, it's maybe. If he says maybe, it's no. If he says no, he's not a diplomat. That's a famous part. The same thing, I'll think about it, and then people realize, but you didn't say anything negative. There are even people that if they go out one time, they will still go out a second time, even though they have no cheshek, that the other side shouldn't feel insulted. You know, we'll give it another try, because rejection after one time is like not hitting the guy this way, but with the back of your hand, if you know what I mean. So there are different ways. There are different ways, like I just mentioned it not long ago, but Eliezer Silva, who is a very big guy, and yesteryear, he was head of the Agudas HaRabbanim. There were many very smart things. He was a genius, a quick thinker. So once a woman in Washington, he was very close to Taft, who was very powerful in the Republican Party. But he was always in Washington for Tzorchei Tzibur. And there was a crowd, and a woman put out her hand to say hello to Rabbi Silva, and people are around. So he said, you know that I don't shake the hand of them, if you're not a Republican, I don't shake your hand. So everyone laughed, including the woman, because he made a good kibbutz. That's quick thinking, right? Not everyone can do it. But if the person, I have a pshat that you're allowed to take the person's hand in order not to embarrass the person. But if you know that the person knows better, then it doesn't work that way. You stare a person down. Whatever. You just see it. You don't see the hand. Yes, sir.
Does Rebbe hold that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael today?
You're asking me to paskin? This is a thing that started with the Rishayim, the Tov Chaim Kohen, who said no because it's so hard to keep the mitzvahs. That's a famous thesis. You have everyone who talks on the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs who doesn't bring that mitzvah as of Tayyad. So there's a whole literature, literally, why the Rambam doesn't bring it. You know what I mean? So I'm not the Machriya, you understand? I'm not the Machriya, but there's a big pilpul on, is there or isn't there a Chiyav? Don't forget, any mitzvah that's going to cost you a fifth, you're not Machriya, we're talking Aseh. So by a lot of people, it's like a fifth. And I don't mean bourbon. It's like a fifth to do it, yes.
Rebbe, just what Rebbe said about dating. Does Rebbe hold that a boy who goes out with a girl, does Rebbe hold he automatically should go out on a second date?
I don't hold anything. Okay. I'm explaining to you how
But when I set someone up,
no,
and he says after one date he doesn't want
it. It depends on the sensitivity
of the girl.
You know,
okay.
It depends on the situation, how sensitive I wouldn't say it to a person unless I'm the shatchan, and I really, so many times, looks matters by a boy. But sometimes he's very powerful about it. I say, look, if you get to know, I know of many shidduchim, where at first, he didn't think she was attractive, but he married her. You see? Her father was rich.
Maybe a last question or two.
I get 2 points for that.
We've used up a lot of the Rav's time, so maybe just the last question or two.
If a guy is marrying a girl which keeps Chal Yisrael, and he wants to know if he should do it, but it would be a tircha for his family every time he come home, or it could offend them in some way.
The
I know it's something to do that she drinks Chal of Yisrael and he doesn't drink Chal of Yisrael.
He's married, the girl drinks Chal of Yisrael, they're getting married, and he feels that it would be a big tircha on his family if every time they go to his parents' house they have to buy Chal of Yisrael for them. But she would very much like in their house that he keeps Chal of Yisrael. Should he take on her practice?
It depends on to what extent he wants to marry her. How can I answer? I'm not going to go tell a guy, don't marry her. Maybe he should marry her and take it on. So it depends on his feelings. Halachically speaking, a woman takes on her husband's minhagim. And since we do have the psak, not everyone goes with it, but it's really as old. It's not Ramosha. Ramosha said it. It's a pre-chadash, which is many hundreds of years, about 1400. Or so. She understands it's not like a Moshe's heter. It's wherever there could be a hefshit if the person pulled the switch and didn't give you cow's milk, there would be a knas. That's called mershus. That's what it's based on. Okay, so if a person has technically there's room to be maker. In Europe, they call it treifa milk because they really hold like that. It's the chol of akum. So a European Jew, it's not like here, it's mutta, but it's a chumra. By European Jews, treifa milk. Yes, treif mit rabbonim. It's not a derisha. So there are different kabbalas and halacha. But if they ask me, what's the din? The din in Hilchas Minhagim, a woman takes over her husband's Minhagim. And if even waiting for Milchus Geplashus, 6 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour, the husband's Minhagim, Lakula and Lakhumra. That's the din. But you're asking me what a person's cheshek should be. It depends on how much do you want to marry the girl. How much do you like ice cream? How much do you like the girl? Yeah. Anyway, it was a pleasure to meet with all of you. Hashem should bless all of you. It should be matzliach. B'chol ha'shatifnu tashkim.
Amen. Amen. I just want to thank the Rav so very much for taking the time and answering all of our questions.
Thank you. Is there a way that I could have a copy of this somehow?
For sure.
I'd appreciate if you'd be Mamshi.
Okay.
Which I have to meet them who beg me for this.
Okay.
Call to them, everybody. Be well.